Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. We have an interesting guest this evening, someone who is quite unique in their skill. Please welcome to the show, Kelly Brickle.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
When life throws you something unexpected, don't go out there and squeeze lemons. Have your numbers read. Yes, you heard me correctly. Have your numbers read. Kelly Brickle is a specialty and has the art of being a numerologist. She is also a psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and the owner of the metaphysical broadcasting company Sacred Spiral Network. She has over 11 years of metaphysical experience in service as a professional psychic medium and numerologist, as well as a lifelong passion for communications and the media. She loves learning about the soul. She loves learning about energy and how these help to empower others along the way so they can create their dreams and just simply soar in their lives. Whether the connection is through spirit, emotion, or vibrational numbers, there is always a pathway to information waiting for help. You can find Kelly teaching and conversing and sharing her gifts weekly on the Sacred Spiral Network, as well as her other podcasts, The Psychic Hour and The Numerology Hour. We had a lot to talk about this evening, so sit back and grab yourself a number as Kelly and I go head on head, trying to figure out the mysteries of the world, but yet how they are connected to the role of numbers. Please welcome my guest this evening, Kelly Brickle. Well, good evening, Kelly, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Great to have an opportunity to be on. Thank you so much, Dr. Kelly.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Kelly and I met at a conference in Washington a few months back, and I really have enjoyed talking with individuals that I have been meeting at conferences. And so, but not just anyone. People bring different gifts and different experiences to the table there, and sometimes you never expect or to meet somebody and walk out of there going, "Wow, I just met another friend," you know. And so, it's Kelly Hour today, so get used to us. It's kind of interesting to have both of us on board. So, Kelly, I just went through your introduction and something very unique about yourself tonight, which, by the way, everyone, we're going to do a little bit of a demonstration on numerology, and that should be really fun. And I'm going to have Kelly take the reins when we're ready for that. But Kelly, first, before we get started, as usual, tell everybody a little bit about how your gifts came about or when this all started for you. And go back as far as you can remember and bring us into your life a little bit.
Sure. Well, where I started to have awareness of my gifts was when I was a teenager. I did notice, like with further reflection, that when I was younger, I was very sensitive to people and I would be connected to their emotional states, or I would just kind of know sometimes things about them, you know, based on advice I would give. Sometimes I'd be like, hey, watch out for this. And those things would occur. Like people would come back and kind of tell me, even as like a friend, when I was like in elementary school, sometimes those occurrences did happen. But I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought like, oh, I really care about, you know, my friends and my family. And I pay attention a lot. And, you know, that's why I'm able to pick up things. That's all I thought it really was. When I was a teenager, I went through a lot of sleeping issues. And so it really affected my physical health, and it took me out of school for a good chunk of years. And so because of that, I was really isolated and I was at home a lot and I didn't have a lot of physical energy. So I had a lot of mental and emotional energy, and I always was curious and spirituality, and I always had like a very active mind. So I started really going into the philosophical side of life and spiritual side of life, and wondering, why are we all here? Why is this happening to me? Like, you know, I try and try and I have good intentions, and yet, you know, I'm not having like the typical life, and, you know, I'm not in soccer anymore. You know, I'm not seeing my friends on a regular basis, and things are just really topsy-turvy. And you think, well, what's the meaning of it all? Especially when you're young and you just want to have like a simple, good life, right? And enjoy being a kid. So then I got into the meditation, and these thoughts would come to me, and I would write them down, and I'd have like a lot of clarity and peace through some of the things that I was like essentially channeling and learning about myself. And because I would just kind of pray and go, what's going on? And I would get all these ideas, but I really, again, didn't think much of it. I was just like, this is helping me process what's going on. And so I would turn on the TV because I was home a lot. And Sylvia Brown was on the Montel Williams show. Yeah. And so that was my first exposure to what a psychic medium was. And I was just like, whoa, this is so cool. And I would watch like whenever I could. And I would like practice when Sylvia would read. I would just go, can I guess this person's name, or can I guess what she's going to say? And I'd get like little hits and things, but she would talk about things. Mm-hmm. And I'd go, well, that's the stuff that I'm getting in my room at night. Or like, these are the things that I'm thinking about. Like she would talk about soul contracts, and like, you know, that was coming in, and she was saying the exact same things. And I'm just like, well, I didn't go anywhere. I got that in my room, and it got me really curious. So I started reading and researching and getting into like workshops and self-help books. And I really started like developing my sense of, oh, this is actually a thing. I used to think I was crazy. I used to think like, you know, I was just like, well, you know, these are just my thoughts. It doesn't mean they're affecting reality. But then I learned other people literally had a living off of this, helped other people off of this. And also, I wasn't the only one that got these things or saw these things. And so I was like, oh, this is very much bigger. And this is what makes me kind of happy in life on top of it. I better go do this.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. And I don't know what our age difference is. She will come to learn that as we do the demonstration tonight with her numerology. What's interesting about a couple things and similarities is, you know, I don't know if a lot of people in our classmates from back in, you know, grade school, elementary, high school, there seems to be a lot of them that, you know, we see these people in the popular group, or we think we see these cliques of individuals in these groups. I was never in a popular group. I was very much isolated and very much lived within myself, had one friend, and then I was befriended by a group of friends, but wasn't necessarily the types of friends that I would normally hang around. But because people need human exposure, people do need this, believe it or not. There's been a study that's been actually proven that if babies don't get touched, you know, when they're they're growing in age and all that, if they don't have that physical touch, that they can be prone to die. And that's not no joke, you know. And so, you know, where do you think we get the cuddling and all that stuff? It's the touch. But the thing is I can very much relate to you. The difference, though, is that we didn't, and back in my day, we didn't have, that I could find, a lot of self-help type books or things on this topic. My first exposure to anything outer that was different, that involved it, was actually two teachers in class, in one of my classes that led one, that had ghostly activity in their home, and they wanted to discover and figure out who that was, which they used a Ouija board. And keep in mind, back then, the Ouija board was like all these instruments that people use to this day. But we didn't think much of it until, of course, now it gets a very bad rap because people aren't using it properly, and it can be with anything. So I can identify with you, and I can sense that. And Sylvia Brown, yes, I do remember Sylvia Brown. And I did actually go to see her in a, what do you want to call it, an event where he sat out in the audience and she was up there talking and trying to show things and all that sort of thing. And I found it fascinating, but I'm kind of glad you brought that up because, you know, there's more people out there that can probably relate to both you and I, more so than you could ever imagine. But yet, when you're living that experience as a young person, a lot of times you think you're living it by yourself, or you're very alone in your journey, and you wonder, why am I here, and why can't my life be happier or more stable than what I'm going through? Very interesting stuff, Kelly. So now let's say you're out of high school, okay, and you're moving along in your life. At what age or at what point did you decide to start truly, really developing your gifts? Because now you're onto something. I was never onto something. I was a late bloomer in discovering all this stuff or realizing it. I had to connect the dots going back. Okay, but it seemed like you were insightful early on, so you can develop the dots and go forward quicker. Tell us a little bit about that, a little bit.
Sure. Well, I always wanted to get into teaching. So that helped me, like I guess, get on the wheel with, I need to learn this stuff if I have interest in something, because what am I going to teach? If it's not something conventional, I really need to figure out what it is, and I need to really dig deep because I don't have the roadmap necessarily for that. So I have to go find other people that do. So that's why I got on the trek a little bit faster. I really made it a mission. But even when I did, it wasn't like always like, oh, this is going well, or, you know, I'm right on track. It was just like, this is what makes me happy, and I think I'm on the right track. And signs are pointing to that. Like, you know, it took time. It took time. So I would say when I really devoted myself to this work 100%. So how do you want me to answer this? Do you want me to answer when I knew I wanted to, or when I actually did?
Both.
Both. Okay. So I knew at 19, 20 that I definitely wanted to do it. And then I started at 22 going, all right, goodbye. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, college. Let's go do this. Mm-hmm. Let's go do this, because I actually really loved school, but I would show up a lot and I wasn't really like happy. And even the classes that I loved, I would be like, I love the teacher, I love the subject matter, but the vibration here does not match like where I'm supposed to be. It doesn't like, it's too cerebral, it's too mental. I'm a very cerebral person in certain capacities, and mm-hmm. I'm a very feeling person in certain capacities. Mm-hmm. But at school, I was like, I need to be learning about feelings. Mm-hmm. I need to be learning about energy. I need to be learning about sensation. This is not what I need to be learning about. Like, yes, it's helpful, don't get me wrong. And yes, it's like more practical, but I would actually get very like depressed. going to something that was so positive. And so at 22, I was just like, I can't, I have to just, this is making things even more difficult for me. And in my life, there's already been enough difficulty. Can I get off the ground already? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then I worked, and then I committed myself just to developing and gaining skills so I could do this like full time. So like I finally launched my business when I was 24,
mm-hmm.
The very early stages of that. And then I got more out into the world when I was 26, like I started offering classes, mm-hmm. and like being much more extroverted. Mm-hmm. But around 24 was when like I had, you know, like the first session, like I had my first paid session and things like that. So, there was a like, and this was like my world. Like I didn't go out, you know, like if my friend, I had friendships, you know, I kept in contact with people, but I would go out and like see them to talk with them. I wouldn't spend my money on other things. I spent my money on like food and classes. You know what I mean? Like everything went to, all right, this is my life. I was like very, very super focused. And even when I was super focused, I went through periods where I'm just like, I don't know if this is working. Should I? So, but everything was all about this work. Everything was all about, you know, me saying to myself, this is where you need to be in order to be happy, in order to live your life. Cause you can't, nothing else works. This is the only thing that's really lining up for you. So yeah, I was very hyper-focused, very hyper-focused.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you bring up that feeling part there, because my degree, well, I started out in psychology and then realized that, I don't know, that didn't seem right at some point. And then I found a degree. It was called human ecology, which is the study of people. And also I'm very much into the observation of experiences or connection of people, or how people affect people when they're having or making or not making connections with each other. And you just hit on it earlier here. You're an observer. Yeah. Probably because most people don't take the time to be ultra focused or observed. They're distracted by a lot of different things. I sat back and just started to observe people and pick them apart, just sitting there. That's what I called sport, you know, back then, was to sit and pick people apart, or sit on a bench. You know how people sometimes sit on a bench in a mall or wherever, and people watch as people go by, and then you have
to do it.
Yep. It wasn't like a little game, but kind of a little game you played of who do you think they are, kind of thing, you know? And it was just very fascinating to watch the different people at different events pass by you, because you wonder, what's their story? See, I was always interested in people's stories as well. And so I just, but the energy aspect with you went even beyond that. And I didn't really have much of the teachings of that available, or didn't know how to find them back in my day. So I, like I said, I'm kind of a late bloomer here, but I'm playing catch up really fast, you know, in terms of learning about myself, my dots, maybe I wasn't supposed to know about that back then. Maybe you're a very quick-minded, insightful gal who jumped on the bandwagon sooner, where I had to sit and go through periods of time, I suppose, to wait until things were delivered to me in a way where I grabbed onto them, or I said, huh, right? One of the things that you're like a psychic or a psychic medium. Would you say you do both? Because I know there's a difference between a psychic and a medium. Could you explain the differences between them?
Sure, absolutely. So like I do both. I specialize in psychic work. Like I have the most natural flow in that work, I feel. And usually people will kind of be one more versus the other. Mm-hmm. There's some people who are very much both. But yeah, people have their strengths, right? So my strength is psychic. I am a medium too. I talk to the other side and get impressions from the other side. I help people develop that side of themselves too, because I've done that for many years. I have a lot of passion in that work as well. So the difference is, a psychic, you'll connect to energies that are on Earth, that are incarnate. So a soul can be many things. It's an internal state. And either the soul is living out a life currently that is local with the energies on Earth, or it's in another dimension. It's in another plane. And it might be on the other side, because the soul has passed from Earth and it's back to, you could say, heaven or somewhere else, or even a different plane that they're living a full other life on. But if you're going to a different dimension or a different plane, like if you're connecting to the other side, you are a medium. You're a bridge between this world and the other world that soul is at. And you're basically saying, hey, I'm going to hold space for both of you so that the connection can get through. If it's like the sitter wanting to talk to their loved one, mm-hmm. or a soul coming to talk to their loved one, you're going to say like, hey, I'm aware of both of you. So I'm going to help translate. I'm going to help hold space so you can communicate. A psychic, that's a soul to soul connection, but you're going to pick up on different impressions, mm-hmm. Because there's so much of the physical body a part of it, as well as an emotional state and lessons that are very present. You know, you don't go over someone's full life necessarily as much. Sometimes you do, but the healings and the reasons and the type of energies are just different versus someone who is present, as opposed to someone who is in a different plane.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you have almost of the clairs? When we talk about clairs, we're talking about clairaudient, which is your ability to hear, clairsentient, which is your ability to feel, clairvoyant, which is your ability to see the future. I know there's a clairsentient. I don't know if that also goes with your ability to sense and or whatever. Would you say you're all of them?
I think everyone is. Honestly, it's just a matter of what in our awareness and understanding has unlocked that for us. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has access to any type of energy stream. It's just we're predominant in things. Mm-hmm. I started out when I got into this work. Once I started getting the ball rolling, I started being very, very visual. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was like a knowing. It's like, oh, I just kind of know something. It wasn't necessarily feeling based. It was just like, it's in my head. Let's mm-hmm. talk about it.
Right.
And then it developed into, like I said, the visual. And then now, like, I'm very feeling based with physical, mm-hmm. Like sensations as well, or emotional feelings as well. And I get sound, but all of that was kind of there before, but you know, it was just one was more heightened and one more had my attention primarily, mm-hmm. but honestly, I feel like everybody has all of them. That's just my personal.
Yeah, well, and some people have them and they just don't recognize them, or they're too distracted to think about them. They just, you know, kind of go by the seat of their pants. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's just like, I don't know, not everyone is made for this type of work. People may have the abilities to be able to become this type of work, but not everybody is made for this type of work. So when you gave your very first psychic reading to somebody, I don't know if you can remember who that was a long time ago, because I'm sure you've done many since on a psychic reading basis. How did you feel about that? Because, you know, I'd be a little bit nervous and maybe my confidence wouldn't be, it'd be a little shattery, because you want to make sure that whatever you say is hitting the button rather than someone saying, no, that doesn't resonate with me at all. Tell us a little bit about that experience when you first had that first one and how you felt and all that.
Yeah, everyone's so different within that. I know many people who, you know, they turn off their brains, so they just go, it just kind of happened. And then some people are very cognizant of what their brain is doing while that's going. Again, it depends on the personality. And so, like, definitely my problem was I couldn't get my brain to turn off for, you know, a good portion of my life. Mm-hmm. So now I can turn it off, even though I very much have fun with it. Mm-hmm. But yes, when I was practicing with other people, and let's say, this is before I became professional, and this was before I became more serious in it. Mm-hmm. And I was just going, this is a part of me, and I'm aware of these certain things. I would practice in a way where people wouldn't know, per se. Like, I would talk to them about their life, and I would just be like, oh, like, you know, you seem like a really kind person, like, you know, the type that, like, maybe did your grandparents raise you or something? You know, I'd like put it into stories, right, and get them talking. And so, like, I would get validation, and I would read people's energy in a way where I was just conversating with them. And that's how I would mostly get away with it, and it wouldn't be like any eyes on me. And then as I was like, okay, well, I have to, like, represent myself in a way where people know that, you know, this is happening to a certain degree, I didn't make it an emotional thing at first. I was like, hey, can I just, like, guess the color you're thinking? Or can I, like, guess something about you? Like, I try to make it like a fun game, and I wanted it to be very evidential, because I did felt like very on the spot. I was really concerned about ethics. When I first got into this, I actually got into it because I was like, maybe I can debunk it to prove that it's not real. Because if it was real, why isn't this out here more? And why doesn't everybody know about it? Because it only helps people. And, like, this is freaking amazing, right? Like, so I actually thought when I was younger that, honestly, people were scamming people more so than otherwise. Yeah. And that still does happen, believe me, but it's like far more people are genuine within this work, and everybody has the ability to grow. It's just society does not teach that, and then people don't think anything of it. Yeah, I would, like, practice more evidentially. And then when I got into actually readings and I started getting more comfortable, then I started dropping into, like, let me talk about your emotional state more. Let me talk about your life more. So I had a transition with my comfort level, but I always had the focus of, let me get something for you so you know it's real, and let me get something where, like, I'm truly seeing a part of your energy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would go for. And then it became more evolved and mature, and right.
Yep. So, have you ever had people come back to you? Like, back in my day, they would say, okay, now I can't read you for another 3 to 6 months because, you know, I don't want you becoming addicted or attached or obsessed with having readings done. Have you gone through that yet with anybody in particular? And how do you handle that when they're coming back and being anxious Nellies?
Yeah, part of that is ethics, definitely. And, you know, everybody comes to a psychic for something a little bit different, or a medium or a healer for something different. And I would say within, like, the Reiki sphere, the healing sphere, so I'm going to jump, but I'm going to come back to what you asked. It's very normal for people to come every week if they are getting an energy healing because there's a physical ailment. Well, within the spirit world, with psychic and mediums, there's messages that are given, and there's, like, a window where there's a lot of important things that are said in 30 minutes, in an hour. And there's a reason why a reading isn't supposed to be 3 hours. You know, it's just the spirit world blends with you, and they know, they show up. They're like, I'm only going to be here for an hour for these things to be known. And they condense a lot in that short time. And those messages usually are like, hey, work on this, work on that, or, you know, understand this. And the person needs to go, because this is not like a healing passive thing. This is an active thing. The person needs to go and implement those teachings or those understandings and messages within their life. And so if there hasn't been enough time for that to have happened, it's not very conducive for them to come back. If they want to look at something else within their life, like, let's say they came for a psychic reading, but they go, great, I learned what I need to know. Now, can I, you know, connect to my grandfather? Can I connect to someone from the other side? Different purpose, different reason. Sure. Like, come on down. And if something's not needed, like, I'll feel it, or there'll be some indication where it's like, I don't feel like this is really needed. So intuitively, we have to leave space for other people to know if this is of their benefit. And if it's not, you shouldn't do it. And there should be distance with most sessions, unless there's a very clear reason otherwise not. You know, I definitely encourage spiritual like mentoring and development, and people come and work on their gifts, and sometimes they get readings within that space. And it's not because they're like, I needed it. Like, I you know, this is my reason for living. This is the reason, you know, like I know what to do like next week. It's like, no, they're coming into their own power and their own development. So, you know, there are reasons why people would come more often than not. But if there are not healthy reasons, you should probably see someone every 6 months or 8 months or even every year. Like, yeah. It shouldn't be a regular thing. Just like, you should learn how to do some of that yourself. And you need to have self-reflection and time. Mm-hmm. In order to integrate what was given to you. I'm a big believer of that.
Kelly, tell everybody a little bit about how did you find your interest in numerology?
Sure. And if I may, can I just comment to something? Sure. You were saying fascinating and important things.
Oh, of course.
Just a moment ago, you know, this work is about coming back like into our power and inviting other people to do the same. You know, so a lot of times we sometimes go, I don't know what's going on. Can you help me? Can you help me? And we give our power away. But if we come to somebody who helps us ignite understanding and like truth, and we start stepping up into learning how to do that for ourselves, then that's an amazing place. And a lot of the answers that we're seeking are actually very simple. Like, why would a person do this to me? Or why would I get this? And honestly, we're just repeating certain energy signatures. And once we step into our own understanding of what we're giving out or what we're picking up from somebody else, life becomes much more simpler, or at least a little bit more neutral, right? So it gets very, very fascinating. I came into numerology because when I was trying to get into my own truth and understand psychic and mediumship, I go, well, okay, I didn't know much about this world, but I did hear growing up about like people who did astrology and like, you know, card reading. Is that even real? It's kind of like the Santa thing. Like, once you find out like something's not real or real, you go, well, what else is real or not real, right? Is the Easter Bunny real? Like, you know, are leprechauns real? I don't know, right? You just spiral, right?
Right.
So I looked into I'm a big fan of astrology now. There's so much that I've learned in my personal understanding. But when I first looked into it, I was like, I don't see the trail. It's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have guidance to understand that. And I do think like sometimes you need guidance from people to understand that, like, which maybe, you know, what you look at sometimes, and sometimes it's for you and you just understand it, or there's many different pathways. I don't know, for whatever reason, but astrology and me, I researched it. I dabbled in it from time to time. It just did not light me up. But when I went to numerology, I was like, oh, like, I'm actually seeing correlations where I can follow a paper trail of why somebody would respond to this. So like, I would research people's birthdays. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be like people in the public, like actors and actresses, or some like a president at the time, or, and then I would do like people that I knew, like family and friends. And I'd be like, whether I know them or don't know them, I will see certain personality traits exhibited with how they express themselves or certain career choices that they've chosen. And I see why they would have done that. Like, I can see it based on their numbers. So it wasn't like, I'm like, oh, I it's, you know, I get everything, but I was just like, I see connections here. So then I just continued to study, and I started seeing more and more connections. I looked for numerologists that saw things the same way I did. There were similar rules, and I learned a lot from them in books and things, but I didn't really find somebody where I go, okay, like, cool, everything they're putting down, that's in flow, or I see similar things, until I came across Glynis McCants. Mm-hmm. And Glynis McCants, like has two books and they're wonderful. And she's a wonderful numerologist and she's very off the cuff and can do numbers on the fly. And I really learned a lot from her. Like, I learned the most from her, I would say, within her books. And also, that's how I learned how to read people on the fly, watching Glenys McCants do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of her. I always say, go check out Glenys McCants if you want to learn more about numerology. And I'm a lifelong student of it, too. I've been doing it for over 15 years, like professionally, you know, like 11. But like I've been studying numerology for close to 20 years. It's like my baby, you know, like I could talk like 5 hours on it straight and it wouldn't be enough, you know? So it's just something energy wise that I can tap into really easily on a symbology level. With psychic mediumship, you don't need symbology. You don't, you just take whatever comes in and sometimes you have symbols there, but when we're dealing with symbology and archetypes, I can read numbers within the system that I use for numerology, Western numerology, Pythagorean numerology, with great ease and flow. And I love teaching it to other people.
So we're going to do a demonstration because that's very, when I was at the conference, this is something that she demonstrated to the audience. And I thought, gee, I need to have her demonstrate this to me sometime or do it on with me as a subject, but I thought I would introduce to everybody tonight something very unique and different. We'll see what Kelly comes up in the process. So Kelly and I had a discussion a little bit recently about, you know, soul contracts and twin flames and all that. I still am involved with a man as a close friend who is my ex of 38 years. He lives in the Netherlands. We're very good friends yet. And I'm also happily married to my husband. But what's really interesting about these two gentlemen is that they have the same birth date, but not the same birth year. And so, Kelly, I'm going to have you demonstrate however you want to go about this. And you just ask what you need. And if you need to start out with my birth date or one of theirs, I would rather not. I hope you don't need their names. Do you need
their names? Okay. I mean, for a more full-rounded, like more in-depth, yes. If you came to me for a reading, yes, I would want their name. But like for something like this, I don't need their name. No, okay. There's enough. Yeah.
Information. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you need first?
I would like their birth dates. That would be great.
Okay, do you want mine first?
I'm going to go to you afterwards.
Afterwards?
But first, I want to see how they're similar. That would help me focus.
Do I need to identify who is who with their birth date? So the 9/23/1962 is my husband.
You said 1962?
Yeah, 9/23/1962. Okay. That's my husband. And right. My ex is 9/23/1958.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they're both an attitude 5. They're both a personal day 5. And then let me just look at their life path numbers. Your husband is a life path 5/2 as well. He's a triple 5. If that's right, that's right. Wow, your husband is a 555. That's really cool. You can get that sometimes with September birth dates, mm-hmm. But yeah, that only happens like once every like 9 years for that to like to have triple numbers. Wow. To follow the birth date as well with the year. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then your ex, you mentioned he would be I think a life path 1. Let me just double check. That's correct. Yes, that's correct. All right. So we have, I'm just writing it out because it just takes a little bit more organization when you have multiple birth dates to just make sure you're looking at the right numbers in the right places. So a commonality between both of them is like they can't sit still. They always want to be doing something. Okay. And both, when you see fives within people's charts with great frequency, there's a need to like travel. there's a need to like actually like physically be busy, like not only mentally, but like physically, like they need to go places and do things. They have to cure their boredom. There's like constantly like this jittery, like, if I don't do something, I'm going to be terribly, terribly bored. Mm-hmm. So there's an urgency. They also like their space, and that's good for you too, because you need your space to develop yourself. So they need like alone time, and they need autonomy. Okay. And so for both charts, really, with all those fives, it would have to take a very special connection in order for them to have a commitment with a person, because their MO is I like to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very special in order to cultivate like a long-term or a marriage with a person with a lot of fives. So again, these deeper soul connections are very evident with both your husband and your ex. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure I label all these. Yeah. With your husband's, can you understand how he would have had multiple jobs within his life, not in the same, like certain people go for like promotions and they want to build on their career, not your husband. He would have had different jobs and in different categories. And again, he would have been bored, and that's why he has to go, I'm going to go try this now. Can you understand that?
Yeah, he's had promotions, and yes, on his way in dealing with promotions, they had to shift, they had to bring on a different aspect in order to build his career to the greater promotion. Correct.
Correct. So can you understand within your husband's work that and you can go back to when he was like a teenager in his young 20s to start, he's at least had been a part of like three different fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It hasn't been in the same vein, even though he has had promotions. That's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to get additionally. Right.
Right.
And it's because like fives can't sit still. In order for them to be happy and to have an understanding of the world, they have to go, I understand it based on this perspective and this perspective and this perspective. And now I understand the personal meaning of life for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're quite open-minded actually. And they're quite a good time. Like your husband, I'd have to look at his other numbers. So names are very important. Yes. Mm-hmm. But like your husband is really like kind of very easygoing for the most part. Like, yeah, let's try it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it. And like, you could just put him in an ocean of people and he'll get along with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's accurate.
So very flexible in that capacity. With your ex, so there's similar themes that are going on here. But if you know with your ex, because they have different life path numbers, mm-hmm. This would have been a person who really much wants to do his own thing. And he's always kind of been fascinated by, like, I want to do something different than other people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something better. And so he's like, there's been a little bit of a perfectionist streak within him, as well as he's like, whether he has. So, you know, sometimes I know when people have, and sometimes I go, hey, it's in their consciousness. Whether he has or hasn't, there's been a pull for entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually giving ideas to other people so they can run and create them. Because he's like, if I can't do it myself, at least I want to give these ideas to other people, because there's a better way to do things. Why aren't we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So a naturally independent person. And he, more so than your husband, will have bouts within his life where he's going to come into question if people really understand and support him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the one is like a very solo lone wolf number. It's basically like, I got to do this no matter if anyone understands me or not. So that's something like that you two have always bonded in. Like, you are willing to upset people in order to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And your husband's not afraid to do that either. It's just, he doesn't have that, like that drive the same way as right. you and your ex have. Like, you'll go against the grain if you have to,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. There's this individuality that needs to be cultivated and brought out within the work that you do and the type of people that you become friends with. Like, there has to be deeper reasons, mm-hmm. and you have to surround yourself with others, sometimes who are misfits or not afraid to say things that are of the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you kind of like will test them. Both of you will kind of test them. Can you really hang? Can you really hang? And then that's how you bring them into the fold. Mm-hmm. Give me your birth date now.
All right. So I'm 9/28/1961.
So you are an attitude one. Okay, so this furthers kind of what I've already been saying about you. You're a personal day one as well. And then you are your life path nine. I believe that's correct. A 7/8. Yeah, your life path 9. Yeah. So that means like within your life is really all about, honestly, metaphysics, spirituality, the paranormal. That's always consumed you throughout your entire life. And honestly, like you've always wanted to, you're not afraid now to like, again, we talked about like going against the grain, but really you only ever wanted to help people and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And you were just aware that like, wow, life is different. Like I'm different. Can we kind of just like bridge the gap? And you try to do that on your show. Like you've evolved to a place where you can do that with authority and autonomy. And you're helping to actually heal a lot of people through communication, sharing, and understanding that you were only trying to do when you were a kid, but people wouldn't listen.
Right. No, that's right. They could never see the bigger picture. I could always see the bigger picture. I could always see what was going to happen. And they always disregarded that until they figured out that I was right. And then over time, that either frightened people or they loved it because they could trust my judgment pretty well. And so that's what I always wanted to do, was to help people. But a lot of people misunderstood that and they couldn't figure out where I was going with half of this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, and your ex was one of the people that was like a sanctuary to help give you confidence back, and you really supported each other. Like you both lifted each other up and reminded each other what you have to say and do is important. And there's a lifelong encouragement that has trickled down throughout the years. You're a life path nine again that I was mentioning earlier. So there's the theme of humanitarianism and helping others throughout your life and that, but also it's a nod to ridiculously high creativity and curiosity. Like you've always been able to see the full spectrum of people rather easily, and you've always appreciated the darker side of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like, well, that's real too. It's not because like why don't we talk about things that aren't like real? You know what I mean? Like just because it's uncomfortable, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just life. Mm-hmm. So you've always been really open to having not only the paranormal experiences, but the deep taboo conversations, even when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And like you've actually, even though, can you understand this? Even if these people weren't your friends or weren't your friends even after you helped them, you've helped multiple people, even at a young age, if they were crying, if they were confused, if they needed to talk, you would just show up and be like, what's going on? You know, and you would help people process things and make them not feel ostracized, even if you would go back to being ostracized and they'd go back to their group of friends.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly that's how I lived my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had this healing capacity and this flexibility in life at a young age. And a part of you was like, well, this is just my life. And, you know, I just got to brush it off and I'm just going to continue to be me. But you really came into your power with it. Like I said, and this, it was your life's mission to really learn how to deal with many different types of people, and not only to be like rejected, but accepted and understand the full spectrum of that, to continue to step into like guiding other people with true and proper compassion and respect for the human experience. Well, the life path of nine, like you really are a healer, and the nine is a natural channel in so many different ways, because it goes, I will pick up everything. I will pick up the light and the dark. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I just know. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when people have a lot of nines in their chart, or let's say a life path nine like yourself, they, from a young age and into adulthood, even when they're schooled with the ways of the world, like, this is right, this is wrong, they have their own moral compass, and they accept basically everybody as long as they're not a terrible human being and not terrible to other people. Very open-minded, very accepting. With your attitude, one, so that has been actually a savior for you, because it allows you to just go, you know what, I'm just going to continue to do my own thing, even though it hurts, even though I'm not understood, I'm just going to do me. It allows you to have that tenacity and a sense of purpose of, like, wanting to create something and wanting to be the best at something, and keeping your focus. So you've achieved a lot of which you have because you were relentless. Mm-hmm. And that one also makes you very stubborn, but, like, it helps you build and helps you get to where you're going. But honestly, like, if someone got up in your face, whether young or old, and they just told you a bunch of things and you're just like, I don't believe that, like, it would bounce honestly off of you. It's only if there was some other kind of, like, well, I wish they would like me, added to the table, would it really affect you? Mm-hmm. So you really are comfortable with doing things differently. And sometimes you're like, I excel more than other people because I am different. So you've embraced that.
And that's what has also intimidated other people too, by the way.
Can you understand too? So I really do understand how there was so much misunderstanding and there was that longing, but do you understand that, like, if you were to remove wanting to, I guess, connect and fit in and have more connection, things actually rolled off your back quite easy. In general, they did. There was a great wounding with what you've highlighted, and so that was very, very different. But you've really had this natural tenacity, and so that those one vibrations have helped shield you from actually a lot of other things, because you've been so focused at mm-hmm. times with what you need to do, and you just let the rest go. And so, like, I say that even, like, in jobs, right? When things are not personal, when someone was just like A, B, and C, and you're just like, no, you're wrong, you're a jerk, or you're taking advantage of people, or I'm not going to put up with this. You put your foot down. Mm-hmm. You put your foot down. And it's that one, like, I'm not going to follow along with this. I'm not going to do this. This is wrong. So you've had this in certain capacities. And I do want to highlight this, because this is your power. Mm-hmm. And you have stood on your own 2 foot, I think, in a lot of spheres, even though, yes, you have had the ostracizing, and you've had to heal the friendships and how you do connect to other people, and why people were just like, we talked about it. It's like people would feel like your presence was so strong, they didn't know what to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as you opened your mouth, the words and the thoughts were too strong. And they're just like, that doesn't make me comfortable. Or, you know, I'm just looking to have a good time right now. I'm just, you know, go do your thing. And I'm just going to continue to have a nice time over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'd be targeted. And I think for some of you out there that can understand this, when you start taking a footing or your own ground, which I did at times where I was stubborn, then I would find myself becoming a target of some of these individuals around me who absolutely, I would say for the most part, didn't really understand themselves, or they didn't have the ability to be more open than what I hope that they would be, or judgmental maybe is the right word for things. Maybe I taught them how judgmental, not to say that I haven't been judgmental, don't get me wrong, I have those types of feelings too. But the thing is what I learned along the way, especially when I've been paving a path of wherever it's heading, which right now is heading in a very nice direction for me, it took a lot of being punched like a punching bag to get to this point and to really look back and understand what I just went through to get to this point. And I'll tell you, I'm pretty happy right now. I have found people in my life that don't judge me. I've found people in my life that understand me. I have great friends, those that I consider great friends. That doesn't necessarily mean they accept what I do. Actually, all of my friends probably don't believe in paranormal aspects of what I do. And so that's challenging when you have conversations with them and they don't want to hear 1 minute of it. That's the challenging part. But I did find enough other people in my life to be able to say, yeah, things are cool now. I feel great. And I'm glad that I've come this far, or I've made it this far. So yeah,
I think, you know, it was difficult training grounds, but if you would have fit in with everybody, honestly, you would have been so welcoming and so like, this feels so great because this is only what I want, that you would have actually become like everybody else,
right?
Like you developed your inner world and now you have so much to give to people.
The numerology part though, added to this, is kind of interesting. It's very insightful, you know.
It is. And again, there's so much more. Like in numerology, there's cycles. And so in this system of numerology, there is a belief that every 9 years, somebody goes through a transformation cycle. So okay. There's certain things every year that would change a person on different levels, but every 9 years, there's a massive change. And actually you are in a cycle of nine. So you're at the end of a cycle right now. And so that means a lot of rules are changing for you. You've had a lot of perspective on the past, even though we're only 3 months in right now. It's like, this year has gone by in a blaze. You know all the things that you want to change, but you don't have time to necessarily change them. But you know, next year things are really going to hit the ground running and you're going to do things quite differently because you're not going to put up with the same things that you put up anymore.
Right.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. So nine is basically I'm transforming. I'm literally welcoming it, but I have to wait a little bit until I'm reborn next year, but it's, things are dying. I'm letting things go. And I see things in a way that it took me usually, let's say, 2 years to do. Now I'm able to do it in 1 month. Or the perspective that I was always trying to get to, like within who I was or what I was looking for, it took meditation. Now it's smack dab in my face. It's like I'm in a new way of being now. Everything's just smoother, more integrated. So you're a life path nine, you're in a cycle of nine. Nine also deals with family a lot and having to forgive people and having to forgive family. Because a lot of times when you have nine energy in the mix, you have to learn how to raise yourself in a lot of different capacities because your parents were not at the same level to get, understand or nurture you through things. When you're in a cycle of nine, you also have to sometimes say goodbye to people or make new rules with people of, this is the allotment of time I'm going to give you, or we're going to redefine how we do family or friendship because this is not working for me anymore. That comes up with your husband and your ex. They're in a cycle of eight. So their health, their physical health is very important to look at. And to understand honestly what really works for them, because if they are saying, I really don't want to do that, but I guess I'm going to have to do that, they will have actually physical ailments come up. The body screams at you in a cycle of eight. It's all about what is truth. We'll make it radiate throughout you. It's a very material number. So watch out for those things on the partnership side too.
Mm-hmm.
And to validate that, you would have actually gone through that last year. So can you understand how last year physical things came up much more and you had to get things in line?
How can they find you? What kind of websites do you have? How can they find you to engage with you further?
Sure. You can find me at kellybrickle.com, and I'm on the major platform. So just reach out to me. The best way you can get a hold of me is through my website with email, and go through there.
On behalf of the show and everyone, thank you so much for being on the show today.